One in eight women. That's how many will face breast cancer in their lifetime. Hey, listeners, this is Annie Dow on behalf of Alicia Unleashed. When you hear breast cancer, you might picture it as something that happens later in life. But the truth is, it's not just an older woman's disease. Just this year in the U.S., more than 316,000 women will be diagnosed with breast cancer. And here's the part that hits closer to home. Over 27,000 of those cases will be in women under 45. Yep, people in their 20s, 30s, and early 40s, people just like you and me. The challenge? Younger women usually aren't screened. Mammograms aren't routine at our age, and even when they are, about 1 in 8 cancers get missed. That means many younger women don't find out until symptoms show up. Research shows we're also more likely to experience delays in diagnosis, sometimes months long, and that can make a huge difference in treatment. That's why it is so important to know your body, know your history, and always advocate for your own health. If you feel something, do something, speak up. On today's episode, Alicia and B-Side sit down with one of my personal favorites, Mix 104.1's Kennedy Elsie, and Alicia herself, to talk about their own breast cancer journeys. Just a trigger warning, they will be sharing details about anatomy and mental health. Please listen with care and know that you're not alone in this conversation. And stick around until the end because we will be sharing resources and practical steps you can take right now to protect your health and support the people you love.
Good morning, Gloucester. Time for Alicia Unleashed. Talking about what's going on in these streets. Alicia Unleashed.
Good morning, Gloucester. This is Alicia Unleashed, and this is B-Side, not on the side, because we have Alicia with us.
Hello.
As well as we have Mix 104.1's Kennedy Elsie with us.
Hey, good morning, good afternoon, whatever, when you're listening.
Can I just mention, Bridget, she's an absolute friggin' icon, okay? We have an icon, a legend.
Oh my gosh. Oh.
I'm just so excited, but no, truly, truly icon.
Well, B-Side asks, I say yes. That's just the way it works with she
Love
and I.
Love it.
Yeah, I got power. Like, little old me, like no one knows, but I am a very powerful person. I just want to say. First and foremost, I want to thank you both for being here and sharing your journeys with us. I know these conversations are deeply personal, so please share what you might feel right to you. My role is simply just to listen and bring your voices forward. Alicia, I know you're an extremely private person because no one knew you were separated or divorced for 3 years on our podcast.
Right.
until you were well deep into your relationship with Peter. And we haven't talked about it obviously on the podcast or anything, but I want to address that October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and we have not addressed it on our show in the 10 years that we've been doing this. This is now episode 127, and we're now finally getting to women's health, which is an interesting conversation because we've been doing Movember for 6 years now.
Yeah.
And
ladies,
I know. I've had people in the past that have been previvors and people that I just didn't feel was comfortable enough or I knew well enough to be like, can you come on the podcast and talk about your breast cancer journey? And I know that Kennedy, you were diagnosed in June of 2024.
Yeah.
Does that sound right?
It was July 3rd was the date, okay. But it really 6-1 half dozen the other. I knew it was coming.
Okay. And Alicia, you let me know on January 30th of 2025 that you were diagnosed with breast cancer.
Yep. That was a day.
Yes. So tell me, and either one could go first, how your diagnosis came about. Was it during a routine checkup? Did you sense something, or was this a special visit? Like, you knew your family had this and it was like, you know, let me get all the genetics testing done and let's find out what's going on with me.
I'll go first. It's fine. So I had probably three mammograms pop up kind of hot in that, like the first time they said, okay, come back for more imaging and an ultrasound. The second time, come back for more imaging and an ultrasound and a biopsy. So I had clusters of things. I didn't have bumps or anything I could feel because of my brand of cancer. But every time I went, that it was something new. So when I had to get the biopsy, I was like, yeah, this is happening. So I got the biopsy done, and I was driving to Washington, D.C. to see the guy I was dating at the time. And I got a phone call as I'm making the 6-hour drive, and I was like, fuck. Because I saw it come up, and I knew the only reason they were going to call was if it was positive. Because if it wasn't, they would just send you the my chart or whatever. So I talked to the gal who read the screens, and she said you have what looks like DCIS, which is a pretty. I mean, if you're going to have cancer, that's what they say the cancer to get. But whatever, and So I found out while I was in my car with my dog. So I pulled over to a gas station and I said, you have 30 minutes and you can do all the Googling you want. But then after that, we're putting the phone away and we're going to go enjoy this weekend because there isn't a damn thing that we can do about it. And they already have a plan in works for me. Like they're like, you're going to get phone calls, in the next 3 hours to get you scheduled. Like the work was being done. So I looked it up for 30 minutes and I cried a little bit at the gas station. And then I just moved forward because what else can you do? So if that was mine.
Right. No, absolutely. So I started getting mammograms in 2019 because my mother was diagnosed stage 4 metastatic breast cancer. So we started in our 30s. When we have in our family very dense breasts, so there's no way that I'm going to feel anything. So right from the get-go, they saw these two spots. But because I have such dense tissue, they're like, eh, nothing to be concerned about. Just come back yearly. There was at one point they did two mammograms 6 months apart because they just wanted to make sure. And then fast forward to 2025, I put off my mammogram. I was supposed to be there July of tw I was supposed to be there July of 2024, and I was like, it's the summer, okay? It's the summer. So I went in January, and the mammogram was that's where the spots changed. And I've always known that. They've never been concerned until the spots change. So once that happened and got the biopsy and all that, I just knew. Like it was kind of like, eh, of course,
Of course.
of course. So yeah, things went pretty quickly after that. So Kenny, for DCIS, so I have a friend that had DCIS. What did your treatment look like? Did you have any surgeries or like what did you just do a lumpectomy? Did you do a double mastectomy? Like what did yours look like?
No, it was very small and it was contained in the tube. So it wasn't going to grow or move.
Okay.
That said, I'm an estrogen receptor, which means that you have more chances to have it again, but then they put you on the tamoxifen for, 5 years, so that's what I do. So I had to have surgery, I had to have a lumpectomy. And then radiation. And we had packed
Wow.
all this in because, so my first surgery, I think, was in August. And I was going to Thailand in December. So we were trying to get it all done before I was going to leave. And so we had the first surgery. And then they realized that the margins weren't clean. So I had to have a second surgery, which put off my radiation again. So that was a bit of a bummer. But honestly, like I didn't, My surgeon took it way harder than I did. She was so mad at herself. She was like, I can't believe this is happening. I'm so sorry. And I'm like, whatever. Just get it all. I don't care. It's a nice little nap. It's fine. I get another day off work. It's cool. And so we had to push the radiation, which lasted almost until like days before I left for Thailand, which was tough because radiation fatigue is very real. But that was it. And now I just take the tamoxifen until they tell me I don't have to anymore.
And then so I'm assuming you're so does D say as a is that her does it also have a protein like HER2 negative or HER2 positive?
No.
Oh, does it? Okay.
I don't think so anyway. They did not mention those things to me because what it is, it's so isolated. It's inside the tubes that make, your that where you lactate and stuff. That's where it is inside those tubes. So it's never going to go outside those tubes. It's a very contained, that's why they say it's if you're going to have it, because it's here. It'll never grow. And while I could still have a different kind of cancer because of my estrogen receptors or whatever, this one was incredibly isolated. Like it's just in this one room and it's never going to go out of this room. And they just had to get it all the way out of the room. Yeah. So it was not as scary as it could be for sure.
Now, did they even mention mastectomy at all to you? Was that anywhere in the conversation or what?
No,
No.
I didn't have any of the markers, although they did have me to take the genetic testing, although it's still sitting on my dining room table, which I what is my problem with just peeing on a stick? I don't know. But in any event, I just got the message from one of my doctors, and they're like, could you please do this? And my sisters were asking me the same thing. So we really don't have my mom's sister, we think, had some breast cancer. They didn't really talk a whole lot. So it made it difficult for us to have any information about what she went through. And she was one of those kind of folks who didn't believe in traditional medicine. So she didn't utilize that as well. So, but no one else, knock wood, in my family has had anything like that. So,
Right. I say it has to start somewhere.
Well, I think it's in our
You
air
know
and the
what I
food
mean?
we eat, if I'm saying it. Like, I realize there might be a genetic component, but if I'm being very honest, and I'm not a scientist or a doctor, nor did I stay at a Holiday Inn Express last night, but like, there's no way that one in five women has breast cancer or whatever that number is, and it's not in our food. I'm
Oh,
telling you.
100. Oh, absolutely. Environmental and everything. Well, I yeah, definitely. We'll get into that a little bit later because that's one of the questions of did we change maybe environment or food or anything like that or what to really learn about that. But so I had I was po ER estrogen and PR. So it's ER, PR positive, HER2 negative. So my mother was all of it. My mother was stage four, ER, PR, HER2 negative, HER2 positive. Like my mother
Oh
had
my.
like all the rare stuff that you could think of. So I think a lot of my reactions and the way that I dealt with it is a lot, I think it's going to be different for some other people because I went through it with my mom. My mom went through the chemo, the radiation, I mean the radiation killed her skin. She went through, she stayed at my house recovery with her double mastectomy and everything. So I think it would just I don't know, it hit me a little bit different. It was kind of like,
Sure, of course it did. Are you
it's
kidding?
like, of course I have this. Like, of
Having to
course this
see
is
something
happening.
first, like having to have already seen it, and where for me it was sort of all novel. Like that's got to be really hard to see someone you love go through something and then them say, oh yeah, you too. Yeah, that must be really hard.
So basically I found so my mom was had some rare cases to herself, but then I had my own rare cases. I have my two spots were two different breast cancers. One was invasive ductal, the other one was invasive lobular, and they said that is very rare. They said usually if you have two types of cancer, there are at least one in each breast at least. No, and mine were very close together. It was weird. So, lumpectomy was not an option. They said that I'd have to get a mastectomy, and I was like, well, they come as a pair, so we're gonna do a double mastectomy. And they agreed because of my mother. So I did that on April 4th. And at Leahy Peabody, their breast health center is just amazing. And now my next step would be reconstruction surgery. However, the plastic surgeon that I absolutely love, I actually got the same one as my mother. He's moving to a different hospital. So that's the reason why I'm delayed right now. So if he did not leave Leahy, I would have had my reconstruction surgery in July or August. But because I'm following him, I probably will not get my next surgery until late November, early December. So it's a little,
But then you'll have the perkiest boobs that will live the rest of their life standing up
I
straight, even
know.
if you're not.
They will look great in your wedding dress, my
I
darling.
am
They will look
saying
great in your
we
wedding
have to
dress.
make it positive in some way, shape, or
Absolutely.
fashion.
Absolutely. What the you know, I one funny thing that's really interesting when I was asking questions of people that, going through the process, I was like, it's gonna be weird to have no nipples. And a lot of people, well, everyone that I know that got a double mastectomy, they were like, you just don't notice it or you just don't miss it. It wasn't a thing for me. And I was like, how is it not a thing for, I don't know. I thought it was weird. And now
Unless
that
you're like feeding or having someone, you know, they're an erogenous zone, let's be honest, we're all grown-ups here. Like at the end of the day, it's just something that's supposed to look that kind of way. But at the end of the day, like, I don't know, you could get them tattooed on.
Well, see, and that, so here's the other thing. So my mom had radiation, so she's had a lot of skin
Yeah.
revisions. So if she, like, let's say that she would have, got the tattoos, they'd probably be up at her neck by now. Like, they're tattooed on. When you got these revisions and you're moving your skin around, who knows where your nipple's gonna be
Oh,
if when it's
stop it.
tattooed.
I had no idea.
Oh yeah, I have my other friend. She that got a double mastectomy 8 years ago. She literally is almost getting a revision once a year because her implant keeps flipping because she has such a gap. She's like, I don't even know where my nipples would be if I had them tattooed on because the skin is constantly being moved around.
That's
So.
crazy. I had no idea.
Yeah, so that's my only thing. But one day it was really funny. Peter says, I don't even notice that you don't have any nipples. I'm like, what? He's like, yeah, it's weird. It's a thing that like he's like, it's weird. You just don't notice it. And I'm like, I guess I
And there you
understand.
have it. And there you have it. If it doesn't
Oh,
matter,
Ryan
it
would be
doesn't
so sad
matter.
if I lost my nipples.
You say
Ryan would be
that,
so
but
sad.
then if they're not there, but that's who you are, then he's gonna get past, you know what I mean? Like the fact that you've got a partner that's like, I got you and whatever. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Well, my great grandmother had bilateral breast cancer. Her daughter had bilateral breast cancer. My grandmother's daughter was kind of like your Aunt Kennedy, who was like, I came into this world with two breasts. I'm not leaving this world without two breasts. I'm not going to the doctor. They believe she had bilateral breast cancer. My mom had really dense boobs. She actually had a breast reduction that reduced her risk by 80%.
Wow.
So we don't know if she would have had it. And for some reason, no one will let me pee on a stick. So to get the gene
Why?
test,
Yes, they
because,
will.
well, I have asked my primary and they're like, oh, well, you can go to Kenmore. I'm like, yeah, I'm not doing that. Send me to Danvers.
Been
And
to Kenmore. It's not that bad.
I mean, it's like, I already take enough time to get a needle in my eye, like off of work. So it's like, it's a matter of like getting out to Kenmore. I was like, just send me to Danvers. I'll pee on a stick. I will pee. I'll pee everywhere. Like, just let me pee. And so I will actually be in touch with my primary again tomorrow and be like,
Just
can I just take
push.
this test? And
Just
that's a
push. Say,
thing.
I want to do it. There's no reason that they shouldn't say no. It's not their job to say no. If you're going to pay for it, you're going to pay for it. So if
Yeah.
they say you have to pay for it out of pocket, then pay for it out of pocket, like whatever. But
I will slap money down like Capital
this,
One, baby. Let's go.
it's unfortunate that our system is like this and you have to advocate so much for your own care, but do it, sister. That's wild to me with all that family history.
Yes,
That
and I just
boggles
found
my
this
brain.
out. I just
If
found this
anybody's
out.
listening who's a primary care who will take care of my girl B-side, well, can we please get that
Seriously. But both of you chose different ways of telling people how your diagnosis. I'm assuming everyone chose like pe picked people, handpicked people, and said, "Hey, I have this going on." And then chose to go a little more openly about it. And I'm just curious how what was that like for each of you to go openly and say, this is what I've got going on.
Well, for me, as you know, my life is pretty well an open book. So there really wasn't, I didn't really have a whole lot of, I don't know. For me, I guess talking about it makes it less scary. You know, I think the more we say, the cancer wants us to be scared of it. And the less we are scared of it, the less power it has over us. Because I think psychologically, if you say, this is it, it's over, well, then it will be, because that's what your brain says. Thoughts become things. I have it tattooed upon my person. And so,
Love that.
you know, so I got that call. I called my boyfriend at the time, and then I called Carson, who was in the car. I was like, "Who was in the car with you? Because I have something I gotta say." Because he answers everything on speakerphone. And then, so that was the long weekend of 4th of July, and I want to say I came back on the 7th, and I told everybody because. What am I waiting for? So for me, that's what it was. And it was helpful because as we talked about in the beginning here, so many women have had or have breast cancer or whose mom or sister, auntie, best friend. And the more we talk about it and make it not, you know, remember that scene from St. Elmo's Fire where Rob Lowe's girlfriend is like, my mother, when she talks about things that she doesn't like, she whispers them, cancer. And so I figured, you know, the as for most things in my world, the louder I can be about it, the better. But I know that I'm not the average person who has to tell people. In fact, I'm so I guess I, if I'm being, I think I still sent a text message to my family because I was like, here's what's happening. I don't want to talk about it just yet. It's going to be okay. But here we go. Because I just couldn't call everybody. But I guess that's the 2000 whatever version of what we do. So that was me.
So you know, I was private for certain family reasons. I have a lot of family. I have family I talk to, family I don't talk to, all that jazz. So just really started with folks that my friends that I, you know, have confided in me and in their stuff, or I trust. Yep, B-side. You know, very selective. And then it, I didn't even actually tell my mother or some of my like my aunts until I knew what next steps were. So because I knew my mo I knew my mother was not going to take it great, but I needed to have all as much information as I could before I told my mother because I knew all the questions were going to be coming. So it was really until I got the date for my surgery, or I was waiting for the date for my surgery is actually when I ended up telling my mother and other family members. And then it wasn't until after my surgery where I'd started really kind of talking about it on social media. And now it's just, you know, now it's just out there and everything. You know, I was what I was really, you know, it was really surprising. So Kennedy, we live in a really small town, and I'm related to like half the town. And the my place my you know, my place of work, I know a lot of people, and I was really really surprised at the same time, but not surprised that I told select people at work and not a single one of them, gossiped, or there was not a rumor or anything like that about, why I was out, for the amount of time that I was. And I was like, wow, I'm respected. I feel like that was a huge respect thing for me, that literally no rumors got out. And
Oh, good.
yeah, so it was really great. So now open about it all. I think it's, obviously it's really important. And yeah, so it's kind of where ha my kind of how I came out.
Were there any moments for the both of you that there was any kind of support or kindness that stood out among your journeys? I know your journeys are not over, obviously. It's just because it happened, surgery done and over with, doesn't mean that it is complete. Like you're still continuing this. This is life. But was there anything that stood out to you significantly that you're like, this is what it's like, not what it's all about, but like, I have a community now, or I have
Oh
people
my
that I
God.
can go
Yeah.
to.
It's insane, 'cause as we've said, and probably will continue to say, so many women have had this. And so, when I was going through this last year, was right in the middle of our toy drive that we do every year. So I was at a mall every Saturday and Sunday, from 2 weeks before Thanksgiving until the second week of December. And when I say every third woman came up in a pink shirt or giving me some kind of gift or just a hug or just to say, I have been there, was almost overwhelming because it was a lot, right? Because of what, I was going through a lot. Front facing people stuff is hard for me as it stands. And then on top of it, but it was such kindness and understanding and just people saying, I've been there. You're going to get through it. Don't be scared. I've done this, people who went through so much more than I ever had to. And like, there's no way that you can come with this diagnosis and that 40 women don't come out of the woodwork and say, I got you. It just doesn't
Yeah.
happen. It just doesn't
Right.
happen.
Yeah. Yeah. If you could go back to the day that you got your diagnosis, what would you whisper to yourself knowing now what you know?
I think I did it right. If I'm being really honest, and I don't mean to be like, oh, I'm so good, but I did. I said, this is not going to, I, this isn't going to be my identity. This isn't going to be my whole persona. This isn't going to be something that defines me for the rest of my life. This is just something that's happening. And that's kind of where I put it in my head. Because, as I think we both said, we kind of knew it was coming. So, and the fact that I had such wonderful team of doctors and nurses around me who were like, we got you. Here's your plan. Could sit here and worry and cry. And I did those things, don't get me wrong, but I didn't live there. And
Right.
so it's less about what I would do differently and just more about sending that vibe out there of this doesn't define you. And you can't. You have to keep walking because life keeps happening, and I'm not going to sit here and stop. I'm going to continue to do so. So I guess for me, I think I did it the best I could to not let it eat my lunch, because it will, and I don't want it to.
And
Absolutely.
you also named your cancer.
Yeah, man, I don't remember where that came from, but I remember wanting to personify it because I'd done the same thing with my the voice
Brain.
in my head. JoJo the singer, I got to interview her once, and she named her depression voices, whatever. What was the name? Oh my God, it's such a good name, and now it escapes me. Persona, birth me. I'm not gonna get it right, but
I'll
she
get it
had
in
a
just a
name for
moment.
her. And so I was like, okay, I'm going to name mine. And so I named mine Dolores Umbridge from the Harry Potter movies because I felt like that bitch was always in my head going, you know how she did in the movies. I don't know if you're Harry Potter
Yeah.
people, but
Oh, yes.
you know, she was always like, you're wrong and you can be better. And I was, so if I named her
Berlinda. Her name's
Berlinda,
Berlinda.
so I felt like if I,
Berlinda.
so from that, I think I took that to the same place that if I name this thing, if I personify it, if it's a thing that I can fight against, as opposed to this nebulous, massive accumulation of cells that are multiplying or whatever the fuck the science says, that I could be like, we have an anti-Melvin campaign. And, you know, people gave me shirts that said, fuck Melvin. And it was so great. And that's what I wore to like my first surgery. And again, I truthfully do not remember where the name came from, but I'm glad I had it because, as I say, I think if you personify it a little bit, it makes it less scary.
Yeah, I don't know how many times I just said it is what it is. I
Yeah,
mean, what are you
that's
gonna
all
do
we
about
got.
it? What are you gonna
Just
do?
what are you gonna do?
Yeah, it's just a blip in the road.
I don't have
It's
time. I don't have time to get
oh, I
all
don't have
worried and
time.
sad.
I definitely don't have time for this. No
I
one has time for this.
got shit to do. But
Yeah,
I
yeah.
think that's a woman thing too.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
I
absolutely.
think.
We've got too much to go. Like
I just
during my
think
mother's
that,
surgeries,
yeah.
I was like, I don't got time for this. Like, let's go chop chop. I got
It's
shit to
just what
do.
we do. I don't think boys, if this was something that happened as often as it does with boys, that they just handle things differently. It's just the way we were brought up or the way we were, I don't know. But I think that as women, we just, you just add it to your list of to-do things. It's not some big fancy thing that shines. It's just in addition to your to-do list.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go to Target. I'm gonna go to my radiation appointment. I'll eat if I'm hungry and then blah, 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 like whatever.
I have a question. So back on the support. So I was similar to you that because obviously the folks that I told, they are my support system. So the way that they showed up was exactly the way that I knew that they would show up. Was there anybody that you were disappointed about? So that
No, I'd say no, but again, I live a really solitary life. I live alone. I don't have a lot of close. I have a very small, tiny little village, and I am also very bad about asking for help. I'm very bad about asking for people to come and be with me and that. So, the guy I was dating who I love more than my luggage came in for both surgeries because I didn't have anybody else to ask. And that was nice to have him here, you know, to take care and give me the medicine. I was supposed to have it, but like during radiation, I really did it all by myself. I didn't need help. I didn't ask for
Right.
it. So no, I wasn't disappointed, but maybe disappointed in myself for not asking for more help. I think at the end of the day, one of the things I scream loudest from the mountaintops in my mental health work is asking for help, and I don't do it.
Right. Well, because we
I
don't
want ev
practice what we preach. Come on.
you're so not wrong, and
We
so
don't want to be a burden. We don't want to do
yeah.
this. We don't
So
want to inconvenience anybody.
so yeah, no, I wouldn't say anyone disappointing me because I just didn't give them the opportunity to do so.
Yeah, no, totally. I mean, I was just
But I
surprised and
live
not
so far away
surprised.
from my family, though. You gotta know. I'm not like you
Okay.
guys that have a million family members and friends and you've been in the same place your whole life.
Right.
I have not. And so my family is 12 ways to Sunday and all dealing with their own stuff. And don't get me wrong, if I had made one phone call, one of them would have been here in a minute if I needed them, but I didn't. So
I would have made it to the South Shore for you, my darling. Don't worry.
I know that you would have. And I know that you would have.
I am a big music person when it comes to like therapy and like when I have bad times and good times and all times. Is there any song that could sum up your journey or help you get through some of the tough times? Was there any music that helped you get through anything? Because me, I was like, oh, Alicia's going through this. Let me create a playlist. Like, oh, we're going on a breast cancer walk. Let me create a playlist. Like, I am one for a playlist because no one has mix CDs or CD players anymore, so I can't make those anymore. No one has cassette tapes anymore, so I
I
can't
have
make
both of
those.
those things. If you ever want to make one, I will take it.
I have a boombox that can actually make mix
Same.
CDs and mix tapes, so I will make you one, trust.
Yeah, you're gonna hate my answer. Because I listen to music like all day in my job.
Yeah,
So
fair.
for me, when I leave work, I don't listen to music as much as I used to. So for me, I read a lot, and I won't be able to even give you books, but I have a tendency to read five books. Typically, I have five books going all the time. A couple of them are real books, and like three or four are Kindles. And I'll switch between whatever the genre I'm reading based on what I need in my head. And I also listen to audiobooks and podcasts. And for me, I just kind of needed something that wasn't going to make me feel anything. I needed to just learn. And so for me, the podcasts I listen to are the heavily scripted, learning about history, learning about old Hollywood, learning about the musicians behind the music I enjoy. But for me, that I read a lot in the waiting room, waiting to go to your radiology. You go every day, and you pretty much go at the same time every day. And typically, it's the same people with you every day. And you're in there, so you might be in there alone. So I would read because it just gave me something to do. But then you'd be there with your ladies, and typically, like I only had to do 19 sessions, so I didn't do a ton, but you're all in there at the same time, and everybody's schedule is different. So, like every day, you'd be celebrating somebody's last day, which
Aww.
was awesome. Like every day, it would be, it's my last day, or it's my first day, or, like for me, those little moments in the waiting room with these women who were my single serving friends for the day, that was the joy that I needed, was that, sometimes they were, because basically you got to a point that like you walk in there and you just like, you're, why do we even need a dressing room? Do we even have to wear this top? Can we just be naked and just do it? Because you just don't even care anymore. Like, you just don't even care who's seen your boobs or whatever. And you're, every day you're just undressing, throwing your shit in a locker and putting your thing on and just waiting. And you're all in there in those purple things together, and you become very fast friends very quickly, and you can help one another. So I guess if any, that was the music that helped me, was their voices, was their stories, was knowing that I'm probably never going to see this woman again, but today I got to celebrate with her, and that was really, really dope. Or today I got to cry with her, and that was okay too. And that was the music for me, I think.
That's awesome. I love that. I think that's great.
I absolutely love Louis Capaldi, and I'm
Oh.
really, really excited that he's come out with new music, and that he's coming around and making the scene again. Speaking of documentaries, like his was just out of this world amazing. So his song that came out after, like actually only I think a couple months ago, Survive.
Survive? Come on.
Survive. That was I think that was the first time I ever heard that. I would think it was the first and only time I've cried in my journey, but to hear that song, I was just, ugh, you kidding
I got
me?
to
Like,
interview him a few months ago when the song first came out. And
ugh.
I was the in my whole company that like my boss picked me to get to go do this interview. And it was because of my mental health journey, I think that they thought I would. Well, anyway, he looks great. He's in great spirit. He is, you can see a difference in his face, and he is coming. He's going to go on tour. He's going to be here. It's going to be amazing.
I'm
And
excited, and I need to go. That is for sure.
Ryan's first concert was Louis Capaldi.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's definitely. I didn't under. I didn't. I think it was after his documentary that I really was like, okay, now I'm into him, into it, and and I went through every song like he's ever, every he's ever written, and to understand what's behind those songs, it just listening to him is just, it's a whole nother level now.
And
It
to
just,
take the
it's,
bravery and say, you know what, I
yeah.
need some time off, so I'm going to take some time off. And he took 2 years off.
And
Absolutely. Everyone was still here waiting for him. And I think that's something we can kind of all learn from that. Like, if you got to take a break from your life to take care of your health, whatever it looks like, mentally, physically, whatever, your people are still going to be here. They're not going anywhere, I promise. I promise.
No, so that's kind of, and I'm just like, I still have all my CDs that Bridget's made me.
Your divorce CDs?
Oh, my divorce CD. She gave me like how many? Like a trilogy, maybe like
Five.
a five of them.
This is what I miss in life, is someone who makes you a fucking mix. The last one I
It's
got,
my love language. It's my absolute love
I
language.
was in a musical in Tallahassee, Florida. So this was 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 20, 23 years ago. And this gal made a CD for all of us of songs she just thought like were us. And they were songs, half of them I'd never heard of, but I'm like, yeah, that's me. And like, I can't find it anywhere. And I found her on Facebook and I'm like, I don't suppose you have that saved. Of course she doesn't. But it was one of the best gifts ever. And it is a lost art, my friend. And while you could make a Spotify playlist for someone, which I think also cool, way to go, but I'm here for it besides, so I'm ready. I'm waiting.
All right. I will go in that massive closet full of boxes and find my boom box and make you one.
Make me some 80s vibes, beach. Let's go.
Absolutely. So kind of wrapping up, I know we were gonna talk about like the environmental gene and kind of some resources and everything. Going through this, has it taught you like a new language for talking about your life and like what you carry with you now? And like, is it giving you a different kind of scope? Like, I knew a lot of people are like, oh my God, this changed me. It's like, you know what? I'm not going to worry about the little things. But then also, it's like, I'm still going to worry about the little things. Like, let's be real. But also, fuck it. I survived this. Fuck you. I'm going for it.
So I would have to say that I dealt with so much mental health stuff before I got to this journey, and there was so much time I spent not wanting to be alive. So I'm going to talk about that for a minute, just
Go. That's fine.
everybody who knows. I woke up every morning saying, I don't want to be here anymore. And it was a lot. And I spent time in a in McLean Hospital for it. Heavy therapy, lots and lots. And so it's interesting when you're dealing with so much suicidal ideation in your life, when something comes along and says, well, I might just do the job for you. And then you really have to kind of have a conversation with yourself. And it's not that I didn't mean the things that I said, because in my head I did, right? Like it didn't make anything less. And I want to discount those feelings that I had or that anyone else might be having. But this was an interesting turn on that of something in my body saying, I'm going to make that decision before you. And me saying, whoa, whoa, wait, whoa. Well, it was a really interesting phenomenon for me. And spent a lot of time on that in therapy, which made me realize that the strides that I'd made in my own mental health journey that I wanted to be alive, that I didn't feel that way anymore. And God damn it, nothing was going to take this from me. So again, my brand of cancer was that I knew it wasn't going to be a death-defying feat, but it certainly started that conversation that other things can come into play here, not just your brain. And so, I'm a normal person just like everybody else. I still have the feelings I felt. Nothing, like I didn't say I'm going to go climb Mount Everest. You know what I mean? But I also realized that the life is here to be lived, my friends, and so let's go live it. And that's just good advice, no matter what you're dealing with. that if the sun comes up and your eyes are open, that is a good fucking day. So, yeah.
And Alicia, I will have you know, I am wearing a sweatshirt with a light bulb on it. And on the back, it says, "Your light is needed." And it is actually from Kennedy's line,
Oh, awesome.
just to let you know. And she has merch. So I'm going to
Ooh.
put that in the notes and
Yeah.
stuff.
All of
She.
that money goes to Samaritans, which is the suicide prevention organization where I sit on the board and raise a lot of money for. I'm just very bad at marketing it. Yeah. But it's a great idea, right? Like you walk around with a light bulb on a hat and people are like, "What's that about?" And I'm like, "'Cause your light, bitch, your light is needed every day, whether you think it's not. Don't hide it under a bushel, as the song goes."
And
And I love
Kennedy
the
is
sweatshirt you
wearing
have on.
that's
Is
from
yeah.
Samaritans as well.
Yes. And Kennedy, can you just remind us, because we're actually just coming off of Suicide Prevention Month and
Yeah.
Suicide Awareness Month.
Yeah.
You also have worked with the program Hey Sam, which is for younger people. And that is something that I wish, like, you know, I had when I was in
Same.
my young age. How much money did you raise by walking 13.9 miles?
This year I don't know the exact number, but I know we're over $70,000.
That's
Wow, that's
incredible.
awesome. Yeah, and Hey
Yeah.
Sam is a peer-to-peer texting service. So, like Samaritans, we have a crisis line, right? You can dial 988 if you're in crisis. And we also have a crisis line that's manned 24/7 by our volunteers, but that's like a crisis line if you're in the middle of it. Hey Sam was created during the pandemic by the kids that were volunteering with Samaritans who were like, you know what? I love your crisis line, but that doesn't speak our language. So these kids, 25 and under, decided to create this whole thing called Hey Sam. And they found an incredible senator who found us $1 million to make it happen. And basically what it is, it's a text line. So if you want to talk to someone about whatever it is, it could be emergent stuff, but it could also be I broke up with my partner, my parents. I live in a house where mental health is not discussed. I'm being bullied in school. I just don't have a friend to talk to right now. You can text it in. They hook you up with the person who's going to match with you. They speak your language, because I don't speak that language, nor would I ever deign to believe that I do. And they have started so many conversations in the past. It just had its 3-year anniversary, and it is the most proud I've ever been to be associated with something that I had nothing to do with. But if I can bring awareness to it. So if you're listening now and you have young people in your life, you know, your kids, your whatever, we just had our big 5K for the Samaritans. And the amount of moms and dads who came up to me and said, you know, you started this conversation with me and my kid that I didn't even know I needed to have. Like they sat in the car with me listening to you walk saying, can I text this line? And I think as a parent, it's super easy to be like, what do you mean? Why can't you talk to me? Like it's hard. You think you're not doing the right thing. You think it's you're not enough, but that's not it. You're not the one who can answer that question. And so for all the parents out there who have stepped aside and gotten out of their own way and said, of course you can, here's the number. And these young people who now want to like be a part of this organization, who want to raise money, who want to tell other people that they have someone they can talk to. And while I realize this isn't breast cancer related, at the end of the day, just being able to have somebody to talk to when you're going through whatever it is you're going through. Maybe your mom or your dad is going through something like this, a cancer journey, and it's hard and you don't know who to talk to because your mom and your dad is so overwhelmed with it, or your brother, your sister. And so to have this space, man, these kids, they know so much more what they need than we ever did. And I'm so grateful that they've been given a space to have it. And I'm just honored that I can just be a loud mouth for them.
Is there a
Goodness, sir.
minimum age that someone can text in for Hey Sam?
I don't think so. I think
Okay.
it's anybody under the age of 25 that they'll find you a way. They'll find you a way. They'll find you someone to talk to.
I have shared it with a couple of my social worker friends,
Yeah.
and said, "Hey, are you aware of Hey Sam and Samaritans?" And they're like, "No, what's that?" And I'm
I
like,
know it's so new.
"Well, here you go." But it is tough, like. When my mom didn't have cancer, my mom went through a double lung transplant, and I had no one to relate to. I didn't know who to talk to. I was like, no one, I know is going through a double lung transplant. Who do I talk to about the caretaker stress?
Yeah.
Like, my therapist tried to find me like support groups, and there was nobody.
Really?
And then it wasn't until the organization that was holding her funds closed their doors and took the
Right.
money that I found at least 30 people that were in the same situation as me as caretakers, and they were living, some of them living right down the street from me. And I'm like, why wasn't the hospital, why couldn't the hospital, I mean, HIPAA and everything, but why couldn't the hospital have done a
And
support group?
you started change. You enacted something.
Oh.
You are a fucking rock star, my
Well,
friend.
I will say Christina Norris, bless her heart, she is the one that is still spearheading this. I just happen to be like, you
Have a
know what?
loud mouth, and
I'm a
that's all
loudmouth.
we need,
That is it. That
bitch.
is it. And let me just say, I am $80 away from goal, and it's not even October 1st. And I, Alicia asked me if I would walk with her for breast cancer. And at the time, I didn't know my family's history. And I was like, yeah, sure, I'll do this with you because I know Kennedy's had it. Alicia's had it. My uncle's wife, so my aunt through marriage has had it. I'm like, yeah, let's go. And then all of a sudden, my mom's like, oh, by the way. And I'm like,
Are you $80 away from your goal right now?
yeah. So I was like,
Yeah, you're not you won't be anymore as soon as we're done here.
I'm like, let me set a goal of 1,000. And then all of a sudden,
A
just whoosh. I was like, oh, let me just start my social media campaign. And I'm like, oh, so breast cancer month doesn't start until October 1st. Well, I'm just gonna start this now. I'm like, oh, let
You
me
gotta
do
aim
this.
high. If people see that you're reaching your goal, they don't think you need help.
Well, I the other day I
Know
posted,
your value and double it.
absolutely. I posted the other day. I was like, oh, let me introduce you to Alicia Cox. And I was like, by the way, she has breast cancer. And I posted like 85 photos of us together of just be like, by the way, I'm like, here's her link. Go send her some money. I'm
That
like,
was
here you
great.
go.
Yeah, no, it's awesome.
Wrapping up, I just want to thank the both of you for being so generous and brave and sharing your stories. Is there anything that I didn't ask or add that you would like to add to the podcast? Any resources that you know of that I might not know of?
I think like the best advice I got from anybody, because the advice will come at you hard and fast as soon as you tell your announcement. And everybody, it's like when you're getting married or having baby. Everybody's got shit to say. Listen, but do not absorb. Listen, take the things that you feel can work for you. The one that I took away most of all was record all of your sessions with your doctor. Because you'll hear stuff and you might be a little overwhelmed at baseline and not remember. So then you can go back just on your voice memo, just click record. And then if you need to look stuff up, you can. That was the best advice I got. Like the rest of it, you'll figure out on your own because everybody is different. Everybody deals with things different. Every skin is different. A lot of people, the amount of lotions that I received, and I'm super grateful. But I only had one small boob over here, this little scar that I needed to put the lotion on. But I've been able to forward that lotion to other people who have come in my way, right? So I would say listen, but don't absorb. Just the same way you would if you just announced your baby or your marriage or whatever. Listen, but don't absorb. And then be. Once someone else in your world comes out and says this has happened to them because it's going to, then just be there and say, listen, I've been there, I've done that, and I'm here if you need anything, whatever that it looks like. That's all, that's what we can be as beacons of hope, support, strength, optimism, positivity, to each other, I think. Yeah.
Absolutely. 100%.
Well, I definitely feel like your voices are going to help many others feel less alone, and I deeply appreciate your honesty today, from the both of you. You're both near and dear to my heart, and I appreciate you both taking time out of your Sunday morning to record this wonderful podcast. And
Anything for you ladies.
oh, thank
Anything.
you so
We are
much. Thank
sisters, and that is
you.
it.
Wow. Well, I once again deeply appreciate you, and we will wrap this up with just saying goodbye. So,
All right.
peace.
Thank
Love
you
you
so much.
guys.
Thank
Bye.
you.